Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10, the Word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, many of you may remember the great words of Winston Churchill, in which in a speech that he gave during World War II, he said these famous words, "Never, never, never give up." And I think that speech inspired nations in that period of time to continue to be faithful. We don't have that same speech here in Scripture, but in this entire passage describing the armor of God, I believe what we do have is similar to the thought that Churchill was suggesting, that we have a battle that we are engaged in, and we too, like Churchill suggested, are to never give up. Fortunately for us, we know who wins the battle. And the scripture tells us that in that battle, we are armed with spiritual armor. As we have been looking at the armor of God in this entire passage, the Apostle Paul has been telling us about pieces of armor and their application to us in this spiritual warfare. We come now to this, the helmet of salvation, which is what the soldier takes with him when he runs into battle. He's already clothed with the armor, the breastplate, and so on, but he grabs three things when he goes into battle. He grabs, first of all, his helmet, he puts it on, his shield, and then he takes with him his sword. This morning I would like to look at you briefly at the helmet, what it is and what defense it provides. As Paul takes this picture of a soldier and brings it to our attention and reminds us that we are in warfare, we are Christian soldiers, as the hymn so grandly tells us. We are engaged in spiritual warfare and in battle against our enemy. We must be armed. We have considered many of the pieces. We now come to the helmet. The helmet that he is going to describe is, of course, the Roman helmet. The Roman helmet was one of two kinds. One was made of leather and the other was made of metal. The metal one would have a band around it with protection that would come down and plates for the cheeks that extended down to the back as well to provide protection at every place. When the helmet was strapped in place, it exposed very little except perhaps for the eyes and the nose and the mouth. The metal helmet, due to its weight, would be then lined with a sponge type of material or felt. And virtually the only weapon then that could penetrate a metal helmet were hammers or axes, and no soldier would go into battle without a proper helmet. The Roman soldier would have his helmet because it protected his head from danger, because if he was struck on the head, it was often a fatal blow. And the helmet was designed to do that, protect. And Paul takes this analogy of the helmet and suggests that the helmet of salvation is that helmet for us, as he uses this metaphor that protects us from a fatal blow, from the enemy who can kill and wound and who can harm us. And he suggests that we must wear this armor that God has given us. So what is that armor? What is the helmet? It is a metaphor for the entirety of our salvation. We must have that helmet, which is designed, as he makes this analogy, to tell us that the helmet is our salvation and what it does for us in this spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. The first thing of two that we will consider regarding the helmet of salvation is that the helmet of salvation is designed to remind a believer of the certainty of his or her destiny and the assurance of salvation, that salvation is fully accomplished in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, whatever happens, whatever we face, whatever doubts and fears and failures enter our Christian life and experience, we still have this assurance that we're saved by Christ. We belong to Him. We are assured that the kingdom of God has come in Jesus and is coming again in glory and power. Nothing is going to prevent the coming in the clouds of glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish His full and final deliverance of His people, and nothing in the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in will prevent you as a believer in Jesus Christ from that glorious day of His appearing, because God is working out His purposes in your life. God is working out His purposes in the church of Jesus Christ and in each member of the church, and He's working out His purposes in your life and in your experience. And so you may expect then in your life and in your experience as a member of His kingdom that you will be engaged in what this metaphor is conveying, spiritual warfare. You may expect that false teaching will come your way and that you will have to fight against it and overcome it by the power of the Word and Spirit. You may expect that in the day in which you and I live, that heresy will abound, because it is the tool of the enemy to try to destroy and to deny Jesus Christ and the church. The Bible has told us that this warfare will occur. The Bible is certain that it will come to pass, but it cannot defeat. It cannot defeat God's great purpose in Jesus Christ. And so we are told about this armor of God as a means by which we, in the power of Jesus Christ, find our protection and our place so that we may serve as His soldiers in this great battle. This armor that the apostle has been describing, and now this particular piece of armor, provides the believer in Jesus Christ with enormous confidence in the midst of the smoke of the battle of the warfare that we engage in against the enemy in our lives. The enemy would like to destroy us. The enemy would like to defeat us. The enemy would want, he throws everything at us that he can to cause us to stumble and to cause us to sin, because anything that he can do to turn us from our course, to bring dishonor to the name of Jesus Christ, is in his mind, I suppose, successful. We have been given an armor. This spiritual description here is an armor that is to protect us and an armor that will engage us in this warfare so that we may come through this warfare as victors in Jesus Christ. And I would remind you that we should not doubt that in this battle we are indeed victors. We must show that in the battle. The reason we are victors is because Christ has already won the victory for us and we are in Him. We should be like Muhammad Ali. How many of you remember Muhammad Ali, the great boxer? If he's ever seen on an interview, the older interviews, of course, now in his later years, he is showing the great signs of the illness that he has, and he's no longer the great physique that he once was. But in his prime, Muhammad Ali in his interviews would exude confidence. He was the great heavyweight champion of the world. Everything he said, every way in which he acted, exuded a confidence because he was the champion at one time. We must have confidence in spiritual warfare, confident that we are victors in Christ, confident that we are victorious because we're in the victor, Jesus Christ, confident that our enemy, no matter what he throws against us, he cannot prevail. Christ has already triumphed. Christ has already defeated him. And the scripture says that we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. That's why this picture is given us in things that we can sort of see, an analogy, if you will, of the armor for the Christian. Paul is describing a spiritual warfare, and he is describing a victorious soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. Paul is reminding us of the certainty of our destiny and the assurance that our salvation is fully accomplished and that we'll enter into it for all eternity. And so he describes it in the terms of this helmet of salvation. Secondly, the helmet of salvation brings to the believer that confidence that he or she is able to fight the good fight without being frightened, as scripture says, in any way by those who oppose you. Wouldn't that be great if we had soldiers, marines, sailors, armed forces who would not be frightened in any way by those who oppose them? I think that those who were in the armed forces would probably admit that there were many times that they were just a little bit frightened. I can recall stories of my dad when he was in World War II, when he would talk about being shot at as he flew in his B-17, as they flew over and tried to accomplish their bombing missions, and they were getting flak, and they were getting fighters, and all of these stories were told, and there were moments of fear. There were times when they came back afterwards, and one particular time in which their plane was examined afterwards, they had lost one or two engines on the plane. I forget how many there were, whether it was four or two, I can't remember. They lost one, and when they came and parked the plane at the end of the runway, when they came at the end of that particular mission, when they turned off the engine, a piece of flak that was lodged in the plane fell, and that engine was no longer operable. So both engines would have been inoperable. They landed, but by the grace of God. There were moments of great fear in battle, at least for those that I've heard stories of in World War II. The scripture says that we should be in this battle without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. That's confidence. We are given by this armor a sense of confidence. Confidence in the face of setbacks, confidence against all of the onslaughts of Satan. Keep on fighting. 2 Corinthians 4:9, Paul says, we are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're not cast down. We're not destroyed, because we know that he who raised up our Lord Jesus will also raise us also. Therefore, we do not faint. We don't fear. We're confident. I think this is the kind of warfare that we are called to, a kind of warfare that is unlike the warfare of what we might read about in World War II or hear about in the testimonies of those who were there or anyone today. Because I truly believe that in the hearts of those who go into battle even today, there's less than this kind of confidence that Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about an absolute confidence, because we know the one who is victor over all. Confident in the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in, because we know with certainty that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he has guaranteed the victory. That's the helmet of salvation. We go into battle armed against an enemy. We stand against an enemy. We face his temptations. We face this life and this world of sin. And we face it in the confidence that Jesus Christ is Lord. Confident in the face of discouragement or confusion. Confident when we grow weary. We want to give up. Why go on? We want to quit. Why the sense of going on time after time when this keeps on coming our way? We're growing weary. When we grow weary in battle, that's exactly what Satan wants, and that's exactly why you need the helmet of salvation. The enemy wants you to grow weary and quit. Jesus wants you to be encouraged and strengthened, because Scripture says men ought to always pray and not to faint. We have a helmet of salvation. We have a Savior of sinners who has conquered the enemy. His defeat was sealed at the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ is Lord, and we're in his army and we serve him. Remember that when you face the battle. Remember that when the enemy throws all that he has against you. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws against you in this spiritual warfare. He is defeated. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what this helmet of salvation is all about. We have the hope then of eternal glory. That's why we fight. That's why we go forth in spiritual warfare and into battle. That's why we stand for Jesus and for his kingdom, because Jesus Christ is Lord. I think in the Old Testament this was illustrated quite strongly in the life of Caleb. You remember he was the one of the two spies who Moses sent forth into the land who were faithful, Joshua being the other. And Joshua and Caleb said to the doubters among Israel, "Let's go up. God has given us this land." And they were faithful to the Lord. And the whole nation of Israel was trembling. They were terrified at the report of the spies. And instead of proceeding to fight the Canaanites and go, they wanted to propose this: "Let's appoint a captain, let's go back to Egypt. Let's quit, let's give up." Caleb and Joshua both stood there, and Caleb said, unmoved by these voices that he heard, striving against his countrymen with an assurance that this victory was theirs in Jesus Christ, he called them to encourage, as Scripture says, he encouraged himself in his God, and he called them to serve the living God and take up this battle for the sake of the Lord. And he had made up his mind to die or to conquer. And the old guy was 80 years old at the time. How about that? What is it that keeps you going in spiritual warfare if you're 80 or 8? What is it that keeps you going when you grow weary in this battle of spiritual warfare? You don't want to keep going. You don't want to keep facing the onslaughts of the enemy. It's the helmet of salvation. It's the knowledge that the hope you have as a believer in Jesus Christ is this: the victory is ours in Jesus Christ. He's purchased that victory for us. He's won it at the cross. And he guarantees the victory to those whose hope is in the Lord. Beloved in the Lord, the helmet of salvation is ours for the battle that the Lord has sent us to fight. But he doesn't send us into battle in our own strength. He equips us with this warfare with the armor of God, and he gives us the promise of his presence with us. The guarantee of the victory is ours because Jesus rules, Jesus reigns, and if we go in the strength of the Lord, the battle is ours. We can go like Caleb, who says, "Come on," 80 years old. "Come on, let's go up. It's ours," because he knew that God had promised it to the people of Israel. That's how we fight. That's how we go into spiritual warfare. That is how we must face the enemy who comes and throws everything at us in the boldness of faith and a strength that the salvation that we have is secure in Jesus Christ, put on the armor of God and stand for Jesus, the shepherd of his sheep, the savior of your soul. Amen.